the rest of the story. John Scotus will forever be remembered as one of the most brilliant scholars, one of the most brilliant scholars of the Middle Ages. I said that twice for a purpose. He entered the Franciscan order when barely a teenager. He studied at Oxford, where he was later to become a professor of theology. He did graduate work in Paris. He lectured in Cologne. He hobnobbed with the great and learned Gonsalvo of Balboa. He was, in medieval terms, a superstar among intellectuals. Yet John Scotus bequeathed to posterity a legacy not even his marvelous mind might have anticipated. Almost seven centuries ago, admirers gave John Scotus the nickname Dr. Subtilus, or Subtle Doctor, because in those days subtle meant merely clever. However, there was remarkable subtlety in John's thinking, as well as a fineness of distinctions between his and rival metaphysical doctrines. There is a point of ultimate abstraction for everything that exists, he said. A univocity of being. And yet, he stressed a distinct principle of individuality, a concept of thisness, which states that no matter how similar two things may appear, they are invariably different. And even more fascinating than John Scotus' philosophy was his theology. For example, he claimed that although the first three of the Ten Commandments were irrevocable, the remaining seven were subject to alteration or even deletion by God himself from one generation to the next. John Scotus was also the first to defend the doctrine of Immaculate Conception in Parisian theological circles. You see, the accepted thought in the Middle Ages was that Jesus' mother Mary, as a descendant of Adam, required Christ's redemption along with the rest of us, that he, Jesus, was mortally conceived in the usual way. But according to John Scotus, for the purpose of giving birth to God himself, Mary had to have been preserved from all sin, actual and original. Well, debate over this issue raged for the next 500 years. And yet it was John Scotus's opinion which was ultimately accepted as official Catholic doctrine. Historians are reasonably certain that John Scotus died in 1308, but resistance to his ideas never passed away. Enthusiasts of Thomas Aquinas, Reformation leaders, Renaissance humanists continued to oppose John Scotus, and the diehard conservatism of the latter-day followers was further fuel for ridicule. It's often said that those who defended Scotus made objections for the sake of objecting, that they were philosophical hair splitters who worshipped irrelevant details. And that is the unheralded legacy of John Scotus. For despite his inspiring innovations, despite his philosophical brilliance, his critics conspired to defame his name until that very name became synonymous with stupid. Stupid. You see, his middle name, D-U-N-S, Dunce, his middle name, John Dunce Scotus, the word dunce is the one we use for the word dunce. And that's why fixed in your mind is the symbolic figure of a boy wearing a cone-shaped cap and sitting in a classroom corner. Well, now you know that the original dunce was anything but, because now you know the rest of the story.